ain't nobody but us. Who the fact is?
It sounds like Charlie.
It is my man, sweet Papa Charlie Gray.
Your man? How do you get that way?
Now, look here, honey. I've been had that man for 15 years.
Child, don't you know I'll turn your damper down?
Yes, Clara, and I'll cut you every way but loose.
Well, you might as well forget it fixed.
Well, dear, I guess we got to have him on cooperation plan.
Okay, that's all for me. Please stay tuned for In the Loop.
It may take a long time, but my house will last forever, and it will have been worth it. What are you going to build your house with?
Yo, I'm staying where we getting crazy love. My noisy neighbors live just above me up in 13A. It's Jama A Day. Super say he gonna fix the heat for sure. I done heard it 5 times before. 3 locks on every door, cause some folks got the tendency to take. It ain't Beverly Hills, more like Stephanie Mills. I never knew love like this could ever exist. 4 corners in your metropolis. Yo, it's the PJs. We exquisite like cars made in foreign. See, ain't a day out here ever boring. Where gunshots keep you up instead of heavy snoring. Pipes dripping instead of rivers pouring. The elevator's broken again. And man, I'm needing a lift. Thank God we don't stay up on the 25th floor. Yo, we ain't always at war. It's a lot about the projects I do adore. But you wouldn't understand it. The PJs is like another planet. Heavy like granite.
You wouldn't understand it. The cops will catch your draws down red handed. It's outlandish.
But you wouldn't understand it. The PJs is like another planet.
You wouldn't understand it. The cops will catch your draws down red handed. It's outlandish.
Yo, it's the PJs. Cause we are cool. Where we live is called the project.
Song is too long. I'ma watch cops and my lazy boy in my thong.
Hello? Are you ready?
Yes.
Then we'll begin.
Welcome to In the Loop. My name is Kristen Barrick. In the Loop is the weekly show broadcast from Free Radio SAIC.org that gives you the news, pop culture, little tech, little seltzer down your pants, whatever you want. And also throws in some music in the recent podcasts that I've been listening to that are pertinent. A little jazz going on in the background. Those songs that you were just listening to had The Projects by Handsome Boy Modeling School off of their album So How's Your Girl, and Song for the Dumped by Ben Folds 5 off of Whatever and Ever Amen. Yes, the songs. Last week I had some music that was nice and politically themed, including something by RX, who in the recent Newsweek magazine, they actually have an article about how about his mashups and how he has a George Bush cut up and singing or speaking strange things and funny things and taking the P off of pass, so he says ass. And yeah, so read Newsweek was good. This week's music is a little bit differently themed. You can go to the blog, the website, that is linked up to the show in the loop. That website can be found at MT, as in MT, outburst.blogspot.com. Again, that is MT Outburst, MT the initials for Montana, mtoutburst.blogspot.com. That is the official blog for Free Radio SAIC's In the Loop, where you can participate, you can throw some stories which you want to hear about, you can throw some stuff that you want to come on here and talk about, throw some comments up there, or else you can just participate and say, hey, you're good, or hey, you suck, or podcast, what the fuck's that? You know, whatever. As long as you post a comment, really. I'm a little desperate for comments. I have one girl who was like asking about The Office, like the BBC version, and I was all excited. I'm like, oh, yes, there's the BBC version of The Office, which was hosted, or which was created and written and starring Ricky Gervais, and he's really good, and you should go buy that, and here's some websites where you can buy it online. So, please comment for me, so I won't feel so alone. In spite of all the trivial things that have happened to me this week, I got dumped. That's a trivial thing. I got dumped the night before I was supposed to fly out to go and see my boyfriend, now ex-boyfriend, in New York. I got dumped for what I perceived to be a girly reason, as the reason being I am apparently not emotionally open enough. Yeah. So you'll find a little, you'll find some themes in the music that I'm going to be playing, such as the song for the dumped. Give me my money back, you bitch, and things like that. Because plane tickets are really, really cheap these days, so it was really, really easy to reschedule that flight with less than 24 hours notice. Not that I'm bitter. Alright, we're going to move on to what I'm going to like to do in the beginning of this show is a little news roundup. I'm going to try to keep with the same topics from week to week. Just kind of give you a nice rundown of what's going on. Some of this you probably know if you're of the news-mindy kind, the news-mindy type. I personally am thinking that, you know what? I've got some time on my hands now and before. And I've got this strange obsession with everything news-related and politically related. So, hell, you guys stay in the studios and paint or go to work, be productive. I will read the newspapers, read the magazines, listen to the talk radio, listen to all the podcasts, watch all the talking heads on TV, and report back to you so you don't have to. Because trust me, it gets painful sometimes. We're going to get to a little appearance by Bill O'Reilly that he did on The Daily Show last night that, if again, I don't know, I'd say if you're between the ages of 13 and 80, that you probably saw last night, or have hopefully heard of, that happened on The Daily Show last night between Jon Stewart and Bill O'Reilly. It was a little dramatic for me, but I'm going to start again with a news roundup. Latest goings-on in Iraq. The final results from Saturday's vote on the Iraqi constitution will be delayed until Friday, if not next week. A blackout and a sandstorm were nature's delays, while questions have been raised over the possibilities of voter fraud. Audits are currently being carried out in areas that had an unexpectedly high number of yes votes, and some some parts of the country that had more votes than they had voters. Not that any of that sounds familiar to people who listen to talk radio or buy into or went with like the conspiracy theories in Florida and Ohio. Not that that sounds suspicious at all. All right. Next, again in Iraq, Saddam Hussein. He went on trial today, or he began his trial in Iraq for the 1982 massacre of 150 Shiites. He is one. He's up there with seven other people also being prosecuted for this massacre. His lawyer, who is Iraqi and also is a Sunni, which Saddam Hussein is, and they were the ruling party during Hussein's reign. I gotta figure out a better way to say that. Like Hussein's reign. That I just think of like reindeer, the reigns of reindeer. Anyways, he called for a 3-month adjournment, postponing, extension, whatever, to further prepare for the trial. It was kind of a mishmash. It was on TV earlier this morning that I caught parts of, and he's being tried in the Iraqi courts, and he's not being tried by in The Hague like most international war crimes are these days. So all the rules were a little, no one really knew what was going on, and people were standing up, and someone fired their lawyer in the middle of the time, and no one really knows the rules yet. So luckily they'll have 3 months to figure out the rules. And finally, in Iraq news, since last Wednesday's show, 19 additional U.S. soldiers have been confirmed dead. More than 2 soldiers died each day that we were in class. This raises the total number of U.S. military casualties to at least 1,979. I think that goes up by at least 2, because I think I heard of 2 that died earlier today. Pakistani earthquake. The October 8th earthquake in the Himalayan region of Kashmir registered a 7.6 magnitude. At this time, at least 54,000 were killed, and 3.3 million people were left homeless. Last week, I had the estimates of 15,000 to 30,000. We're at least 54,000. A few websites have been asked or pressured to remove high-resolution satellite images of the earthquake areas, citing security concerns. Pakistan denies any involvement with the removals from sites like UNOSAT, which is the United Nations branch that provides such photos to relief agencies. This comes on the same day as leaders in India expressed concern about sites like Google Earth, which I really want to have them come out for a Mac so I can like find my parents' house and stuff. But I digress. India and Pakistan have control over parts of Kashmir, but each claim to be entitled to the entire region. 2 wars have been fought over Kashmir since the British left in 1947. They're saying that this removal or concern about these high-resolution satellite photo sites. Turn down the blues. I love the blues, but are because of security reasons, and that, oh, you'll be able to see our missiles and stuff in India, and so just please don't do that. It's nice that some people would think of using that for military tactics, and I want to see a digital tour of my parents' house in Billings, Montana. This is a little strange. Hurricane season. Now, I wrote out my copy last night. I wrote out all of this news last night, and then I woke up and I kind of had to redo this entire paragraph because it went from, well, because Hurricane Katrina or Wilma went from going into a category 2 last night, like mid last night. I woke up and when my TV goes on, it's on CNN, and I see all these things like Monster Storm, and I then go back to sleep. Wake up again half an hour later, and Monster Storm, and they're like, oh, it's Category 5 now. Like, have I slept through a couple days or something? So anyways, this is my newly revised copy. Hurricane season. Hurricane Wilma is the 21st storm of this season. And last night and this morning, it exploded into a Category 5 hurricane. Late Tuesday night, as the wind rose to an estimated 175 miles per hour. As of this morning, it is the most intense hurricane to date. That apparently has to do something with the pressure. It's an incredibly low pressure. And so, by the record, Wilma's breaking all the records. And the Flintstone jokes are just being crazy. And I don't have any. So, I will spare you. Wilma will most likely go through the Cayman Islands and possibly head to the Gulf of Mexico. These forecasts are predicting 4 to 5 days out, so there's not a guaranteed touchdown in the Gulf area. In the Gulf areas previously affected by Hurricane Katrina and Rita, the Florida Keys, however, are being evacuated. Wilma ties a few records. It is the 12th hurricane of this season, tying the 1969 record for the most hurricanes in one season. As a 21st named storm of the season, Wilma ties the record for most storms of a season, which was set in 1933. There are no more remaining names in the English alphabet set for storm naming. If there are any further storms in the next month, because hurricane season ends November 30th, it's not even the end, names will be the letters from the Greek alphabet beginning with alpha. And I really, really hope that I don't need any more, like, the world is going to end kind of things, not to mention people dying and etc. Can we just end hurricane season now? It'd be better for everyone, I promise. Because I control the weather. Or someone out there who's listening does. So, that was the music roundup. That was the news roundup. And next we're going to have a song. Little musical break. And the song is called Breakdown.
This whole train breaks down, so I could take a walk around and see there's no time, you see, 'cause time is just a melody. But people in the streets walk as fast as the feet could take them. I just rode through town, and though this window's got a view, but the frame I'm looking through seems to have no concern for now. So for now, thank you.
And that, everybody, was Breakdown by Handsome Boy Modeling School off of the album White People. Now what I have for you is the presidential address off. If I had theme music for it, I would play it. First, so I have two presidential addresses. Let's make it a game. You can guess which one is real, because it's going to be really hard. So we're going to play each of these presidential addresses and then discuss what is discussed by that president. And you can guess which one is real by making a comment on the little chat portion of your listening box. Listening box sound, like a speaker? What? Okay, anyways, I'm just going to play this.
And now, a message from the President of the United States, George W. Bush.
Good morning. This weekend is a momentous time in the history of the Middle East.
Oh, and he's not reading.
After choosing their leaders in free elections in January, the Iraqi people have gone to the polls to vote on a democratic constitution. This constitution is the result of months of debate and compromise by representatives of Iraq's diverse ethnic and religious communities. These leaders came together to produce a document that protects fundamental freedoms and lays the foundation for a lasting democracy. Earlier this week, the Iraqi people embraced changes to the text that have led to its endorsement by some Sunni leaders, as well as Kurdish and Shia leaders. Now the people of Iraq will have the final say. By casting their ballots, the Iraqi people deal a severe blow to the terrorists and send a clear message to the world. Iraqis will decide the future of their country through peaceful elections, not violent insurgency. And by their courageous example, they are charting a new course for the entire Middle East. This weekend's election is a critical step forward in Iraq's march toward democracy, and with each step the Iraqi people take, al-Qaeda's vision for the region becomes more remote. As Iraqis prepared for this election, the world learned of a letter written by a leading terrorist explaining why Iraq is the central front in their war on civilization. Al-Qaeda's number two leader, a man named Zawahiri, wrote to his chief deputy in Iraq, the terrorist Zarqawi. We intercepted this letter and we have released it to the public. In it, Zawahiri lays out why al-Qaeda views Iraq as the place for the greatest battle of our day. He says that establishing al-Qaeda's dominion over Iraq is the first step towards their larger goal of imposing Islamic radicalism across the broader Middle East. Zawahiri writes, and I quote, "The jihad in Iraq requires several incremental goals. The first stage, expel the Americans from Iraq. The second stage, establish an Islamic authority over as much territory as you can to spread its power in Iraq. The third stage, extend the jihad wave to the secular countries neighboring Iraq." End quote. This letter shows that al-Qaeda intends to make Iraq a terrorist haven and a staging ground for attacks against other nations, including the United States. The letter makes equally clear that the terrorists have a problem. Their campaign of murder and mayhem is turning the people against them. The letter warns Zarqawi that, quote, "many of your Muslim admirers amongst the common folk are wondering about your attacks on the Shia," end quote. Even al-Qaeda recognizes that with every random bombing and every funeral of a child, the Muslim world sees the terrorists for what they really are, murderers at war with the Iraqi people. These terrorists are driven by an ideology that exploits Islam to serve a violent political vision, the establishment of a totalitarian empire that denies political and religious freedom. This is why the terrorists have fought to prevent and disrupt this weekend's elections. They understand that the act of voting is a rejection of them and their distorted vision of Islam. Simply by coming out to vote, the Iraqi people have shown that they want to live in freedom and they will not accept a return to tyranny and terror. The terrorists know their only chance for success is to break our will and force us to retreat. The al-Qaeda letter points to Vietnam as a model. Zawahiri says, quote, "the aftermath of the collapse of American power in Vietnam and how they ran and left their agents is noteworthy," end quote. Al-Qaeda believes that America can be made to run again. They are gravely mistaken. America will not run, and we will not forget our responsibilities. In Iraq, we have brought down a murderous regime. We have stood by the Iraqi people through two elections, and we will stand by them until they have established a free nation that can govern itself, sustain itself, and defend itself. When we do, Iraq will be an ally in the war on terror and a partner for peace and moderation in the Muslim world. And because America stood firm in this important fight, our children and grandchildren will be safer and more secure. Thank you for listening.
All right. Was that the real one? You tell me. And if anyone was watching the webcam, yeah, I was doing a little hand puppet thing. So that was the president of the United States. The letter that he talks about, because we've already briefly discussed the vote for the Iraqi constitution. The vote is, and I had to spell these out phonetically, so I'm going to massacre them despite me doing that. A letter from Ayman al-Zawahiri, al-Qaeda's number two, was released October 6 by U.S. intelligence officials. They told reporters it appeared to be authentic, but they did not release any details as to where, when, who, how, or by whom it was obtained. Not that basic journalism know-how that I learned in high school was who, what, when, where, how, and why. But that's not important anymore. An Islamic website posted on behalf of al-Qaeda. Why do these people have servers? Like, who hosts these websites? And can they host one for me? I mean, if they have a server, why don't I? Sorry. An Islamic website posted on behalf of al-Qaeda that the letter was fake and created by the White House government. Neither the letter nor the denial can be verified. The letter is not addressed directly to the al-Qaeda in Iraq leader, Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. Quarry? The other guy. Sorry. Although U.S. intelligence has little doubt that it is. In this letter to al-Zarqawi, al-Zawahiri, okay, let's just do this. I'm holding up my fingers so I can understand this because it's like Smith and Smith with an E. I don't know. They're very similar names, last names to me. So the guy who's number two in al-Qaeda, even though they supposedly catch the number two of al-Qaeda about every single week, that guy writes a letter to the guy who's the leader of the insurgency of al-Qaeda in Iraq, as they call it, in Iraq, who's this other guy that George Bush calls the terrorist. And so he writes a letter, supposedly, sends it to him, and I'm doing this with my fingers, apparently just for myself, because I'm not doing it for the webcam, and I, like, there's Michigan Avenue right in front of me, and there's no one in the lobby to see me do this. But so he sent the letter saying, oh, you're doing great. The U.S. will run away like they did in Vietnam. I am sorry for the loss of my son and my wife and aunts and uncles and blah, blah, dogs. The first part of that was actually true. So he says all this and then describes tactics like, oh, you should attack these people. You should do this. You should do that. You should break the American infidels. And as this guy's writing this letter to the leader of the guy of the insurgency in Iraq, he says at the end, and wish the leader of the insurgency in Iraq well. He's writing to that guy. And then he says at the end, I should write my emails like that. Dear Mom, I hope all is well. Everything's going fine. School, the radio show's fine. Say hi to my brother and my dad, and say hi to my mom. Okay, Mom? Love, Kristen. So, a lot of people are pointing to this as going, hey, maybe this is fake. Not a very good one. But, so a lot of people are saying, you know, obviously as the president uses this in his weekly radio address that you can get on a podcast through the whitehouse.gov website as well as through iTunes. A lot of people are saying that this is true, and it brings up some good points and some good issues in terms of war tactics and the insurgency. Whether it should be touted as a truth, I would say would be kind of questionable. I'd say it's probably written by someone who's not the number two of Al-Qaeda, but it's probably written by somebody, and don't take it as a truth, but take it as some good points to think about. Next, presidential address number two.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Good morning.
Maybe it's real.
In recent weeks, there have been some who have pointed out polls which show the American people do not share my priorities for the country. I do not govern by polls. Polls are always changing. For instance, the White House conducted a quick poll this morning when asked how the president is doing on the issue of the economy. It found 100% of respondents strongly agree the president is working hard to create new jobs and grow our economy strong. When asked if he had faith that the president would nominate only the most qualified individuals for important government posts, strongly agree. The respondent wrote a comment in the margins. It says, it's important to appoint people I trust. Do you feel confident in your ability to protect American people in the war on terror? 100% approval. Stay the course. The respondent goes on to write, stay the course. 9/11. And finally, when asked if I believe the country was going in the right direction, I said, continue to fight against the enemies of freedom in the war on terror. Stay the course in Iraq. Make my tax cuts permanent and reform Social Security. Now, this poll has a margin of error, plus or minus 100%. I gave it a plus. Therefore, my approval rating is 200%. Rest assured, according to the latest poll, your president's doing an outstanding job. Thank you for listening.
And that was the parody of the presidential address, which you can find at which you can find online and weeklyradioaddress.com, and as well you can search for that on iTunes. It's carried there as well. I really like that clip. It addresses the recent news about Bush's poll numbers. Bush's poll numbers have been down. A CBS poll conducted in the beginning of this month, like October 3rd to 5th, but hey, you can't be polling people every week. You gotta only do that every 4 months, like a leap year, or 4 years, like a leap year. The poll showed that 69% of the country, or of those polled, believe the country is on the wrong track, with 26% believing it is going in the right direction. His job approval ratings are approval 37, disapproval 58%. His worst ratings in the specification area of how he's doing of job approval and such are for the main priorities of the 2004 election and things in general. His worst approval ratings are for his handling of Iraq and the economy, which both stood at 32%. I don't know about the margin of error. It was not 100%. I can tell you that. But obviously it's going to be something, 1-2%, something like that. Or 3-4. Anyways, people are looking down. And it's more of the independents and Republicans, kind of like this suburban. I looked on CNN and it was reporting that the suburban vote is kind of the one swaying back and forth, and it's going like, oh, you guys aren't really doing that great. I have to mortgage my car to pay for the gas for my car. So can you mortgage a car? I don't know. I don't drive. So with gas prices rising and whatnot, and the numerous indictments and investigations going on the Hill, people in the heartland, they're not too happy. As well as just, you know, I don't think everyone else is pretty happy. But they have their base. Don't we all? Yeah, whatever. On a different note, this is going on to the Bill O'Reilly thing, and this is the appropriate song to introduce that segment. Oh yeah.
Sing it. I wanna kick your ass until your head falls off. Then I'll kick your head and kick your ass again. Why? I don't think it got the message. Open the door, sucker. It's Zorak. Here to kick your ass. Your ass. I love beating people up. What I do, and if your lame ass had any friends, I'd kick their asses too. Every time I see you coming, I feel sick, but at least I know your ass is mine to kick. Why don't you bend that fat load over? Hold it steady, Zorak's ready to kick your ass. Ass. I'm gonna kick your right cheek, and then I'll kick your left cheek. Ooh, then I kick both cheeks right on into next week. I'm gonna turn my foot sideways, gonna kick that ass for days. There's another clueless chump. Time to let my foot meet rump. Kick your ass, kick your ass, kick your ass, kick your ass. Let me kick your ass, kick your ass.
All right, that was I'm gonna kick your ass because titles are clever. By Zorak, off of an episode of The Brack Show of Adult Swim Cartoon Network. Check it out. All right. As I was writing out my outline last night, I was watching The Daily Show because I like to do things in a timely manner, like at 10 o'clock at night. And they had Bill O'Reilly on, and I thought I misheard on Monday when they're like, oh, next, tomorrow, Bill O'Reilly. Like, what? Yeah. Is the earth going to end? And so I was watching it, and I just couldn't believe it. And this date is around the 1 year anniversary of Jon Stewart doing his SmackDown talk on Crossfire, the now canceled show featuring Tucker Carlson and Paul. They had like rotating guests, basically left, right. It's like Hannity and Combs, except for Combs has balls. And it was just Bill O'Reilly and Jon Stewart, they're like the yin and yang of each other. It was just tall, short, funny, not funny, has a live audience, doesn't have a live audience, and for a good reason. I was gonna play part of the SmackDown from Crossfire, but instead I gotta at least play part of this. This is from last night's Daily Show with Jon Stewart. I don't think this is currently on iFilm's viral videos, but it probably will be shortly. You can find it currently at crooksandliars.com. And it's not playing. All right. Does the song play? Oh, you know.
Let me tell you something, my friend.
Yeah, you know why things don't work? Because I don't look and read things well.
Bitches ain't shit but hoes and tricks.
Please welcome to the program, Bill O'Reilly. Bill! Come on up here.
He'll get the point very quickly, though. I'm obviously trying to
welcome,
make.
Sir. You understand?
Maybe.
Okay. How you doing?
All right, before we get started, somebody told me, walking in here, you got some French guy on after you, making fun of me. Is that true?
Let me tell you something, my friend. I smell the fear. Don't think I don't smell it. Colbert is on your ass, and he is going to be... You know why?
Colbert?
Colbert!
Is he in the country legally?
Now, that hurts. That hurts, my friend.
French guy, right?
He is, in fact, part of the South Carolina aristocracy, my friend.
Is that right?
He came over,
slave
not
owner?
On the Mayflower. I believe he is.
Yeah.
Okay. I believe he has a team of running a ring. Let me ask you a question. Why so angry? I look at Bill O'Reilly.
I'm keeping this mic on because I still can't believe this clip.
It looks to me that life
clip.
Is good. You got a book? O'Reilly Factor, even a spinoff for the kids?
For the kids, yeah.
Because you love. You got a hot show, and yet I still see a certain grumpiness.
There's a lot of wrongs we have to right in this world, you know? We have to take on a lot of bad people. We have to people like...
And when are you going to start doing that?
We're going to do that.
Here's the thing. You seem madder at people that don't have any anything. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I'm picking on a little guy? Is that what you're telling me?
This
picking on a little guy?
Who do you pick on more? Cindy Sheehan or the neocons?
The neocons?
Tell me the truth. Yeah.
I pick both of them get it in the no-spin zone.
What?
Nobody escapes. Tell the audience the truth. You don't watch the show. You're watching the French guy.
No,
watching my show.
It's only been one night with the French guy.
Well, I saw you guys in a bar together. I know you hang.
Okay, this is part of where it just gets really just violent. Because John Stewart's being nice, or trying to be nice.
I got to tell you, it is quite good.
And the Colbert Report is quite funny. Good.
Thank you, no problem. But... Because I'm reading an article today, and this is true. In an article today in Newsday, you're actually talking about retirement. You're talking about being tired of doing this.
Well, I've been doing this for 9 years. Been on,
That's not right.
No, I mean, look, I've been doing it for 9 years.
All right.
And we fight a lot of battles. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know how long I'm going to do it. But I have to basically bring every night to the table a sense of outrage because there's lots of things wrong. You know, we're not playing it for giggles like you. Look at me. Now, you ought to know this. The world could blow the hell up. He'd be giggling. Oh, this is right. How many people are dead in Katrina? How can we make fun of it? Let's get Colbert in here. Let's get the other guy, Lewis, in here. We'll make fun of the hurricane.
You know,
that's what you do.
I will say this. We do add insult to injury.
You do.
But.
He's an honest man.
But.
He's an honest man.
You add injury.
I am.
Here's the thing, and this is, you know, I do like the fact that you don't always like go right down the line.
You almost said I do like the factor. You almost did it.
I almost slipped in, didn't I?
I know. You lose all of California.
No. I do enjoy watching it because you won't go purely knee jerk, but it does seem like. Are you still doing the boycott of France?
Yes, we're boycotting France.
Oh,
that's why
God
we can't watch Colbert.
Oh, stop! We hear
what?
No.
What? People from Marseille? What?
Ooh, give me more wine. I would.
But these are our enemies over there. What's
France?
The matter? What is the matter with you?
France?
Every time we turn around. Oh, stop it.
The thing is, when was the last time France truly mattered in this? Don't you feel like that's what's wearing you down? Your outrage must be channeled to, I don't know if you know this, but they never found weapons of mass destruction. Why don't you go after those guys? What are you, 7'5"?
Of course I've gone after those guys. What's the matter with you?
No, you're
buying into this left-wing line. Hey, you pinhead. If you think France...
Yes, Bill O'Reilly just called John Stewart a pinhead.
This is our friend. It's ridiculous.
No, no, no. I didn't say they
Come
were
on,
our friend.
Then why not be outraged against them? We saved their butt in World War II. Read
we
a
did.
Book.
That is a good point. But let me
Come
say
on.
This. If this were the Peanuts.
And you, I'm coming up there.
If this were the Peanuts series, Frances Marcy, every now and again, she shows up. She's standing next to Peppermint Patty. But nothing's happening with France. You know who's the problem? Lucy. She's the problem. Go after Lucy. Get Lucy. You can do it.
Hey.
Get out there and get her.
They, the Republican neocons, as you say, fear us more than anybody. They don't come on program.
Who's us?
The factor.
Oh.
I mean, Bodman, the energy secretary.
Oh, you're throwing it in.
No, they don't fear you. You're.
I know. Okay, so what about this? Do you trust anything that comes out of the administration's mouth?
Anymore? I don't trust Given any their... politicians, period.
None of them?
None of them.
So you're going on record now saying...
They're basically all...
They're dead to you.
They're in it for themselves. They're in it for themselves.
So you're on our team?
No. No.
I'm going to hold the book up because I think that's the right thing
we'll
to
write
do.
Write a factor for kids.
I'm not even going there. The O'Reilly Factor for Kids, the paperback is on the bookshelf now with the bestseller, Bill O'Reilly!
See, he was being so nice, and yet... You can see what happened. Again, you can find that at crooksandliars.com. And I hope that it's on Comedy Central's main site right now. Anyways, I'm shocked and completely that. And now... Because we're winding down. Gonna play a short thing off of the senator, the U.S. senator for the state of Illinois. Our senator, because we live in Illinois. Live in Chicago. Barack Obama. He has a podcast. I believe the only representative or senator to have one. And he's also a Chicago native. And so he addresses a couple points. You can find this on iTunes. And on Barack Obama's website. Here we go.
Hello, this is Senator Barack Obama, and welcome to my podcast on October 14th, 2005. With all the serious topics that we've been discussing over the last several months, the issue of the avian flu, the problems with Katrina, and our response. Today I want to focus on what I consider to be one of the most important issues facing the country, and that is whether the Chicago White Sox are going to make it to the World Series. Some of you may be aware of the fact that I live on the south side of Chicago. Here in Chicago, there is a major rift between Northsiders and Southsiders. Northsiders cheer for the Cubs, and although the Cubs are a very nice team, I think the reputation of Cubs fans tends to be that they're a little more upscale, a little more latte drinking. Southsiders work.
Just a note, I don't drink lattes, but I like the Cubs all the same.
Class, blue collar, generally no-name teams, not a lot of stars or big payroll. So we tend to be the afterthought in baseball in Chicago. But this year, the Chicago White Sox are on the move. I had the great honor of throwing out the first pitch on Wednesday's spectacular playoff game between the White Sox and the Los Angeles Angels. I made it across the plate. People were afraid, particularly my staff, that I might one-hop that pitch. But no, it made it safely across the plate. It was called a strike. And I think that me throwing out that first pitch may have had something to do with the fact that the Sox ended up winning that game, tying the series 1-1, and sending it out to California. So I don't expect that everybody listening to this podcast today is a baseball fan or a White Sox fan, but I thought it was important for you to know that there are those of us who have not seen a White Sox World Series in a generation that are thinking about these issues deeply. On other matters, some of you have been interested in finding out what's going on with the Harriet Myers nomination. I think it's too early to tell. You know, my general philosophy has always been that we listen to the hearings and determine what, in fact, the judicial philosophy of the nominee is. I hope that I have a chance to meet with Ms. Myers, listen to her testimony. One thing that I do think is important is that the White House recognized that in the absence of any judicial record on her part, in the absence of any significant work that she appears to have done related to constitutional issues, that she's going to need to be more forthcoming, and the White House is going to be more forthcoming than they were during the Roberts nomination. Ms. Myers is completely a blank slate. And I find it ironic that we're hearing a lot from the president emphasizing how religious she is to assuage some on the religious right, when during the Roberts confirmation, we heard that Judge Roberts' religious convictions should not be relevant at all as a matter of consideration. It makes me wonder the degree to which the White House is approaching this process with the sort of sincere, forthcoming effort that I think any judicial nomination deserves. We will be focusing on that, obviously, when we get back to Washington after this recess. We will also be, I hope, tackling some of the avian flu legislation that I've introduced, making sure that the money is in place for the preparedness that we need. And we still have a lot of work to do with respect to the Katrina reconstruction and making certain that not only are we spending that money, but we're spending that money wisely to help the people most in need and not just some of the larger contractors who appear to have benefited so far from the relief and reconstruction. Anyway, I appreciate you guys taking the time to listen to this podcast. As always, I will talk to you next week. Let your friends know that this is something that we do every week. And if any of you have ideas about podcast topics or things that you'd like to hear from me about, please send an email to our office, and we'll see if we can fit it in. Take care. Bye-bye.
I think he's obviously a little... He's trying to find some more topics to talk about on his podcast. That was U.S. Senator Barack Obama speaking on the 14th about the White Sox, who have now made it into the World Series. And World Series tickets went on sale on Monday. No, yesterday. Tuesday. They went on sale at noon, and they sold out in 18 minutes. So count your pennies. And hope they reach into the millions and millions and buy yourself some from a scalper. And also has some comments about Harriet Myers, the next Supreme Court justice nomination. Her records just got a little clearer this morning, but we'll discuss that on the next show. This has been In the Loop. You've been listening to Free Radio, SAIC.org. In the Loop is a show that airs every Wednesday from 6 until 7, has a companion website that you can write comments on. It's a blog, so it's all open. Make suggestions, bitch, whatever you want. That website address is MT, it's in the initials for Montana, mtoutburst.blogspot.com. Welcome your comments and suggestions and approval, desperately seeking approval, or you can tell me how much I suck. Doesn't matter. I have been Kristen Anderson Barrick, and I've been happy to have you guys here. We're going to end this, do a little switch over with DJs and everything. Hope you stick around for the next show. And if you're just coming in for the next show, I hope you come back next week, an hour earlier. And going with the theme, I started you off with Song for the Dumped by Ben Folds 5. I'm going to close this all off with Song for the Dumped Japanese version by Ben Folds 5 off of Whatever and Ever, Amen, the 10th anniversary reissue. I've been Kristen Barrick, and I look forward to seeing you next week and hearing from you on the blog. Yeah.